Consider this. You're driving down the highway. You're cruising at a speed that you think is appropriate, based on where you're going, the speed limit, of course, and how much time you have to get there. Now, everyone around you is either going slower or faster. Of course, that's the way it is, right? And all those people going slower than you are, that's just ridiculous. Why are they going so slow? Speed up, come on! Those are those Sunday drivers that we talk about, those slow pokes. But then there's also the folks that are going faster than you. And those folks are the lunatics on the road, those crazy people who are just out to kill us all. Speed demons, the maniacs on the road. For most of us, the speed of our life is just right. But it's everyone else that is around us is going too fast and too slow. And that's our human condition, isn't it? We assume that I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Too fast, too slow, too this, too that. We love in our society to judge and blame others for what's going wrong in our world. But here's the truth. And it's on the front of your bulletin. We can't blame our way to freedom. You see, if we want freedom, then we need to stop blaming and start taking ownership. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because ownership is hard. We have to learn how to take ownership. But you see, it's easy to blame. No one had to teach you how to blame other people. Blame just comes naturally. And I want you to think for a moment with me about children. Joy Kate, I should have asked her if I could share this story. I'll have to ask for her forgiveness later. Joy Kate has been into gymnastics a lot lately. And gymnastics, as you, if you've been involved in before, it brings about bumps and bruises. But I always notice that when she gets hurt, and she comes running and crying or whatnot, and I ask her, "What happened, sweetheart?" She says something like, "The balance beam made me fall." Because blame comes natural. When my girls fight and someone gets hurt and we come running in to ask what happened, the first thing out of their mouths is, "She hurt me. She said something mean." Right? Because blame comes naturally. So we spend time telling them to stop blaming the other one. We tell them to talk to us about what they each individually did. What was your contribution to what happened? We have to train them, you see, to take ownership for their own actions. And if they both do that, we can always find a way to work out the problem. As long as they each blame the other, as long as the finger is always pointed away from themselves, the disagreement will continue. But it's amazing when one of those children says, "Well, I said something mean to her." Then the situation begins to diffuse. Because the other child feels validated. "I'm not crazy. She did say something. See?" And we can begin to move on. Like children, we think that we minimize our guilt by making the other person look bad. The truth is that blame puts up walls. And the thing which takes blame down, the thing that takes the walls down, which clears the path to freedom, that thing is ownership. Taking responsibility for your life, for your situation, for the things which you contributed to a situation. So you see, once you begin to take responsibility for your own stuff, you begin to earn the respect of other people. You're able to take steps towards changing things, and you're no longer a slave to the actions and the effects of others. So, while blame is an obstacle that comes naturally, ownership is a part of the process towards freedom that we have to learn and practice. Let me explain that more a little bit through a story from the Bible. A story that's very familiar to you. And if you open to those first few pages of your Bible in Genesis chapter 3, you can read along with me. You'll remember the story. Adam and Eve are in a garden and this serpent comes in. The serpent tricks Eve into eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Eve hands some over to Adam and Adam eats it as well. And they realize that something's not right. They're naked. oh my goodness, we got to do something. And so they hide when God comes looking for them. You can pick up and read with me at this point in the story. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Great question, right? "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "Well, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "Well, the serpent tricked me and I ate it." We're a lot like Adam and Eve. We pass the buck. We point to someone else. The story has been long used and abused to point fingers at women, if we're honest with ourselves. There's a larger point to this story, that Adam and Eve both point the other direction. Now, what I'm going to say here is not going to be very comfortable today, but it's something that we need to hear. If we want freedom in our lives, we need to hear it. We constantly blame other people like Adam and like Eve for the bad stuff going on in our lives. "She treated me unfairly. He did me wrong." Some of us blame our parents. "They were too hard on me. They walked out on me. They didn't support me." Some of us blame a husband. "He doesn't communicate. He's never around. He's not involved enough with our children." Some of us blame our wives. "She's too emotional. She blows everything out of proportion. She doesn't appreciate me enough." Some of us blame the church. "It's not feeding me spiritually. It's the pastor's fault. Oh no, it's the board's fault." We blame the schools. "It's the teachers. It's the administrators. It's those other children." We blame politicians. "That's why everything's going wrong, right? It's those irresponsible liberals, or it's those cold-hearted conservatives." Always pointing the finger the other direction. We blame a boss. "He's unreasonable, doesn't understand me, had it out for me from the very beginning." If we lose something, it's not our fault. If you're lonely, it's because no one will visit you. If you're angry, it's because someone made you mad. If you're sad, it's because someone made you sad. If you make a mistake, it's because someone else messed you up. Just like that balance beam, right? Does any of this sound familiar to you? It should, because we all do this in different ways. This, you see, is our story. And it's a story of blame. But there's a flip side to this coin as well. While we blame other people for the bad stuff in our lives, we also like to take credit for all the good stuff. That is, we blame ourselves for what goes right. Think about it. If you get a promotion, it's because you worked hard. If you get a raise, it's because you earned it. If you win a prize, it's because you deserved it. If you get a project done early, it's because you found a better, more efficient way. If disaster happens, but you come through it unscathed, then it's because you made good choices with your life. If your kids do well in school, it's because you taught them right. If the church is doing well, then it's because of the sacrifice that you made. If your wife is happy, it's because you made her happy. If your husband remained calm, it's because you kept him calm. If business is good, it's because of your skill. If the economy is doing well, then it's because of the candidate that you voted for. If life is good, then it's because you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. This ought to sound pretty familiar too. We blame ourselves, that is, we take credit for the good things in life, while we blame other folks for the bad. Now, right here is where things get a little tricky, because there are two things going on in some of our minds right now as I've been talking. First, when I mentioned how we blame others for the bad stuff, some of y'all were thinking, Yeah, boy. People sure do need to take responsibility for their lives. That's the whole problem in this world. Society will let them off the hook and coddle them. But the truth is, it's their fault that they're in the situation that they're in. Now, if you're thinking that, then listen up. You're still doing exactly what I'm suggesting that you stop doing. You're blaming someone else. Blaming them for their lives. And the truth is, I'm asking today for blame to stop. All blame. It's not about blame. It's about you and me working out our stuff. Our contribution to a situation. Our life. And this leads to the second thing that some of us have been thinking. Does this mean that it's my fault? If I take credit for the good, then I also have to take credit for all the bad stuff in my life as well. Am I the one who caused all these terrible, harmful, hurtful situations that I'm going through? Am I the one to blame for my life being the way it is? Again, I'm asking all blame to stop. Taking ownership for your life, you see, doesn't mean blaming yourself, especially when you weren't the cause. The point is to stop blame. There are things in our lives that you and I did not cause. Bad stuff happens. And it's often the result of things that are beyond our control. So here's the truth. Sometimes others really are the cause of hurt and pain in our lives. And sometimes we've done it to ourselves through our actions or our decisions. Chances are, whatever we're experiencing involves a little bit of both, if we're honest. Likewise, when things go well, it's sometimes the result of your actions and your decisions. And sometimes things go well because of somebody else, because of some gift that you got, because of some silver spoon that you were given. But whether it's you or me or someone else or something else beyond our control, we need to stop obsessing in our lives about fault. Good or bad, it may not be my fault. But it is my responsibility. And that's what ownership is about. Not blame, but about responsibility. And the two of these are different, you see. Don't define responsibility as fault and blame. Responsibility and ownership means acknowledging the situation and dealing with what is a reality today. Without obsession, without obsessive focus on whose fault it was yesterday. Now that doesn't mean denying culpability. It doesn't mean that we ignore fault. In many cases, we'll need to admit where something came from and what we and others did to contribute to that problem. But ownership pushes us past cause and into the things that I can do, that you can do to solve the problem and take a step forward towards freedom. So look with me briefly at a story from Jesus' own life. A story about ownership and freedom from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. That chapter begins in this way. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there's a pool. In Hebrew, it was called Bethesda, which has 5 porticos. In these many porticos lay invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed folk. Now keep in mind, as before we continue to read, keep in mind that the pool was believed to have healing properties. This was a pool whose waters stirred. And when those waters stirred, it was believed that this was a sign of an angel of God coming. And the first person who would get up and get into those waters would be healed. Healed by the angel, healed by God. We keep reading. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Before we go on, consider this question for a minute. Do you want to be made well? Jesus is asking, yeah. But more than that, Jesus is offering. Jesus is offering healing in this question. Do you want to be made well? And we expect a resounding yes. But look what happens. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water was stirred up. And while I'm making my way down there, someone else steps ahead of me." So instead of that, yeah. Instead of a, please help me. Instead of a, yes, can you help? We hear a complaint. The man focuses on what is not working in his life, on who's not helping. And this keeps him from seeing the person right in front of him who is reaching out with a question and a helping hand. Jesus responds to the man, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and he began to walk. Pay attention here. This man complains when Jesus makes his offer, but what does Jesus do? He heals him anyway. He doesn't say, "You're healed." Bam, there it is. He just says, "Stand up." Literally calling the man to take ownership of his life. Stand up and take ownership. Now the man could have responded, "Yeah, right. I can't, and that's the whole problem." But instead, he stands up and picks up his own mat and finally takes ownership. He deals with what is right in front of him. The story says in dramatic fashion that if you want healing in your life, then stand up and take some ownership. It speaks right into our lives today. Like this man, many of us would rather be right than to get better. We'd rather assign blame than receive healing. It's true. Let me explain that one more way. Imagine that you leave church today, and God forbid, you have a car accident. You're driving along and someone is coming at you, weaving and swerving, and before you can get out of the way, bam, the driver hits you. Now what do you do? Who do you need? Some of you are thinking right now, you need the police. Because they'll come and they'll figure out what happened, who was right and who was wrong, and they'll get the other guy, the other crazy, reckless, I don't know, maybe drunk driver off the road. Whatever that person did wrong. Because when an accident happens, you need the police to sort it all out and decide who was at fault. Right? But others of you are thinking not about the police. Because you realize that if you're in a car accident, you don't worry about who is right and who is wrong. You worry about healing. You've been hit and you're hurt. And you need to take care of what's broken and bleeding and life-threatening. So here's the thing. Some of us have been in serious accidents in our lives. And we're hurt. We're broken. We're falling apart. We can't figure out how to hold it together. And our lives are threatened on a daily basis because of that pain and that hurt. But we keep calling the police instead of calling an ambulance. Our desire to assign blame is greater than our desire to get healed. We act as if we would rather be right than be healed. So friends, if we want the freedom from the things that bind us down in this life, freedom from the pain and the hurt in our lives, freedom from the hard stuff of life, then we have to take ownership. We have to be responsible for what is right in front of us today. Not by assigning blame to ourselves or to someone else, but by owning our lives. We have to receive the help from friends and family who are reaching out to us. We have to take a step towards a solution. We have to make a decision that our past doesn't define us. We have to realize that Jesus is reaching out to us right now, asking us, "Do you want to be made well?" And if we do, if we want that healing that comes from Christ, if we want the freedom that God is offering us this day and every day, then together let's find a way to take a step forward and deal with what's right in front of us. My prayer today is that you will take Jesus' hand, that I will take Jesus' hand right now and grab a hold of what is right in front of us and make that next step towards freedom. Will you pray with me? Holy God, as we sit in these moments reflecting on our lives and reflecting on Your Word speaking into our lives, I ask that You touch the heart and the soul of every person in this room. In the places that my brothers and sisters and I are hurting, in those places that over these past few weeks You have called us to be more aware of, in those places where we have asked tough questions, dug deep into our lives, and discovered something that we hadn't seen before, I ask now that You help us to see what is right in front of us, a place that we can take a step into, a hand that we can hold on to as we journey through that hurt and pain and situation. I ask that You show us a way forward. Help to remove those thoughts of blame and fault and who did it. And put within us a spirit of movement, a spirit of moving forward with one another, with our church family, as together we journey closer and closer towards Your freedom and Your salvation.